Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Are we about to get a lump of coal for Christmas Day? That's what it seems like based on this upcoming schedule. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. Almost just marinated and sat in that with no intro music, but I felt, that might be a little awkward.
You can't sit and soak in
the
dryness.
Maybe we shouldn't do that. We don't want the dead air here. Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, and Carter Freeman for just a couple more days coordinating your video. But let's do a football fix.
Oh, baby, it's
back. It's back.
We have a pulse.
Woo! Ted Nugent woke up.
Man, sometimes you just never know what you're going to get here in this
Motor
new
City Madman.
Just, you know, we're trying here. It just took a little bit to wake up. It was hibernating,
a little
sleeping,
buffer.
And boom, here we are. It's a party. We're back. We got Shoddy doing his pressure here in about an hour. We'll do Sounds of the Sports Day coming up on the other side. Football fix, though, right now.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Oh, we thought, we wondered, we hoped this Christmas Day triple header, the holiday games on Thursday. Could the playoffs be in store? Brian, you once told me, you promised me, you said, Zach, don't worry. Washington, Dallas, a playoff spot would be on the line.
I thought when I looked at the schedule in May, June, whenever that was, I thought this Christmas Day game was going to be winner gets in, loser goes home.
Dang it.
It's more like, I don't even know what. Eric, I'm usually pretty good with this pregame, like what this game means.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea what this one's going to mean.
No, it's draft positioning.
This is draft positioning. This is try and get to 500 if you're the Cowboys, right?
Which is such a BS goal. Like, who cares, man?
They care.
But I'm saying they shouldn't care.
We don't care. They care.
It's such a short-sighted thing to like, oh, yay, we get to go into the offseason feeling like we weren't a totally ass team. We were just a mediocre team that couldn't make the playoffs.
We're half ass. So. Yeah, it's going to be Josh Johnson, looks like, quarterbacking for the Commanders.
Josh Johnson. This is our yearly staple where we have to run through all the teams he's played for.
It is, and pull it up, get it ready, because it's looking more and more like this is going to be Josh Johnson, because the Commanders have also claimed Jeff Driscoll off the Cardinals practice squad.
Wait a minute,
squad.
Jeff Driscoll, I think he quarterbacked a game.
Yes, against the Lions. Last time the Cowboys went to Detroit, and they beat the Lions.
Yeah.
But Driscoll had himself a hell of a game. He really, really did. And then I think he might have quarterbacked them with Houston when the Cowboys had to come back on that 99-yard drive.
And that was when did they alternate quarterbacks?
They were alternating quarterbacks. Yeah. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So Driscoll's had some success against the Cowboys, but I don't think on a short week.
Davis Mills start that game, and then Driscoll was coming in?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
They were running the ball with Jeff Driscoll. Yeah. It was like the option quarterback.
And he was running around and doing some decent things.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, so Driscoll, they're signing him off the Cardinals practice squad because Mariota's got a hand injury, and they shut down Jaden Daniels. So now you're looking at Josh Johnson versus Dak Prescott. Steven confirming today with KNC, Dak will be starting, and I think everybody's going to be playing that can play for the Cowboys on Thursday, Christmas Day, noon, 9 a.m. pregame here on The Fan.
All right, so here it is. You ready?
Let's do it.
The long career history of Josh Johnson. He was drafted by the Bucks in the fifth round in 2008. Okay. Then he becomes a Niner. Then he goes to the Sacramento Mountain Lions. Is that like the UFL or something like that?
Yeah.
It was
the one before that, even the one that got canceled.
The Spring League thing, yeah.
Daryl Johnston was heading up.
No, Daryl was hosting the XFL.
He's done them all so far.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right about that.
Then he goes to the Cleveland Browns, then the Cincinnati Bengals, then back to the San Francisco 49ers, then back to the Bengals, then to the Jets, then to the Colts, then to the Bills, then to the Ravens, then to the Giants, then to the Texans, then to the Raiders, then to the San Diego Fleet, which is another one of those Moose Johnston
AFL.
That's the AFL, yeah.
Then he was on the Redskins, then the Lions.
Shh, don't say that.
Then, well, it was.
Yeah.
Then it's the Los Angeles Wildcats. Okay, so he's back into one of those leagues. Then he goes back to the Niners. Then he goes back to the Jets. Then he goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Then he goes to the Broncos. Then he goes back to the Niners. Then he goes to the Ravens, and now he is a Commander.
And we think he's going to have a career day.
This is
daily
like Josh,
fantasy.
He is absolutely licking his chops.
Josh Johnson,
right now.
Make sure you fire him up in your lineup.
If Josh Johnson could handpick any team to go up against, it would just be basically he'd have somebody put the Bengals behind their back in their left hand, the Cowboys in their right hand behind their back, and then he would just pick one, and he'd feel great about it.
Let's do it.
This is a Merry Christmas special for Josh Johnson. Honestly, I'm happy for him. After all the bouncing around he's done, he's going to get a primetime Christmas Day opportunity. He's going for 250 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, he probably will. And Quinnen Williams was limited today in practice. Practice report is out. Good to see Ryan Flannoy was limited as well. Only people that didn't practice, DeMarvion Overshown with a concussion. Tyler Guyton also not practicing either. A couple people off with rest, but we'll be monitoring the practice reports throughout the entire week. Cowboys will be wearing their Arctic white helmets with the Navy jersey and a white pants.
Mm.
First time they've worn this uniform combination. Also, the Navy's at home. I don't love it. You want to do it once a year? Fine, do it once a year. The Cowboys should be wearing the whites at home. And I think we're doing too much with this the Navy at the home stuff. We don't need this.
Not here for it.
I'm not here for it.
Let's see. We have somebody in the 972 asking for the Josh Johnson career earnings.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Okay, so here's the best I can do for you because we have conflicting reports over the cap versus SpoTrack.
Okay.
Josh Johnson's hoping that SpoTrack nailed it because they're giving him almost or over $13 million for his career. SpoTrack is giving him career earnings of just over $11 million. So somewhere in the $11 to $13.5 million range.
Bag, man.
And that's a great career.
Well, J.J. McCarthy's got a hand injury. So the second game, we're looking at Lions-Vikings. Vikings eliminated. Lions basically eliminated. They've got to win out, have the Packers lose out. Hopefully that does happen, but it'll be Max Brosmer starting again for the Vikings. Most likely.
That's sad.
That's gross. And I don't even know how to say this Chiefs quarterback's name.
I didn't either.
I don't know what the South Dakota State.
No one knew who he was. Even Fred Davis, the champion Chiefs fan here at the station. We were in the press box yesterday when Minshew went down, and we're like, who is this guy? He's like,
I don't even know. But Gardner Minshew does not have a torn ACL. The team feared that. The MRI said the ACL remains intact. So that's good news for Gardner Minshew. They've signed Shane Buechele. Shout out to the Buechels, Texas's own, off the Bills practice squad. So he will probably be the backup of this game for the quarterback for Kansas City that we don't even know how to pronounce this. Chris Oladukun.
I think you nailed it.
I don't even know.
I'll take your word for it.
I've never scouted this guy.
It's going to be gross. That's going to be Broncos at the Chiefs. I mean, what happened? We thought we were going to have a really, really nice holiday triple header. And now, nope, not so much. Speaking of the Chiefs, holy crap. It's official. Chiefs have entered onto an agreement with the state of Kansas to host the Chiefs team beginning the 2031 season. So they're leaving Arrowhead. They're leaving Missouri. They're heading to Kansas. And a lot of people, for the first time in their lives, have just found out that the Kansas City Chiefs are not in Kansas.
Yeah. How about that?
Nuts. They're leaving the state of Missouri. They're announcing a move in 2031. I'm upset about this because of Arrowhead. Like, Arrowhead Stadium is so classic. We're going to lose one of the premier venues in the sport. one of the loud. It's that what? Seattle? They're the two loudest?
Minnesota was loud.
Minnesota can get there?
Yeah, Minnesota's loud.
But it's going to be a new state-of-the-art venue capable of hosting major year-round events, so I'm assuming that would mean a dome, most likely. They'll probably get a Super Bowl out of this.
Maybe they go with the Bills canopy style.
I like a canopy. It's going to be a $4 billion development in the state of Kansas. So when we cross-talk with Fred Davis, Fan After Dark, a little bit later, we'll have to chat with him. I mean, this has just been, you lose Mahomes, then you lose Minshew, now you're losing your entire team to a different state. What a time to be a Chiefs fan. Things have really started to crumble right before their eyes. Jerry also hinted yesterday, international game for the Cowboys next year.
Maybe back-to-back ones he was talking about, right?
Possible. Cowboys are going to have 9 home games next year.
Home and away kind of a thing?
It could be. So they got 9 home. Now, Mexico was the spot that he wants to play in. They have not done the international game since 2014. Their home opponents are Arizona, Jacksonville, San Francisco, Tennessee. And then they're going to play the AFC North and NFC South, the team that finishes second place in those divisions. So it'll be either Pittsburgh or Baltimore or Carolina and Tampa. The away games, Houston, Indy, Rams, Seattle, and the second place team in the North, which will be either Green Bay, Detroit, or Chicago. Hopefully it's not Green Bay.
Would that be an away or a home?
That'd be away game. That'd be back at Lambeau if that were the case. Yeah. So one of those, I don't think Jerry would probably want to give away a home game, but the fact that they get the 9 home games, maybe that's more likely they would be willing to do that next year. So expect a Mexico City game if they get their way on that. Woo! 13-21. That's what you're looking at right now. Picks 13-21 with the Cowboys having lost. The Vikings also move up a spot with their victory, and then Green Bay losing to Chicago is good. So maybe Green Bay does. And Jordan Love, is he going to be playing? I don't know. Jordan Love in concussion protocol, he also might be out. And he was balling. He really was. Now, you mentioned Malik earlier, the backup quarterback, Malik Willis. He did have an outstanding throw for the touchdown. But we've seen this from him before where he's had some good moments. Is he going to be able to put together a great start overall? This is a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, he's had a couple. There were stretches where Jordan Love's been hurt over the last couple of years, and LaFleur is able to just sort of reinvent the offense. And
they run the ball.
They run the ball quite a bit. Now, they haven't been able to run the ball that well this year, but Malik Willis is obviously going to be a part of that. They'll run him into the ground. They don't really have much concern about doing that. So, yeah,
it'll be interesting.
I'm confident there will be at least one team in the offseason that looks at Malik Willis and like, yeah,
we'll pay you.
That's going to be our guy.
And they're playing the Ravens. It's a Saturday game. That's a big one for both teams. Playoff lives on the line. Marcus Freeman is the leading candidate right now for the Giants head coaching job. He leads a group of college coaches that are being considered, according to Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network. Mm. But their focus is going to be Marcus Freeman. So we'll see if he ends up at 39 years old wanting to leave Notre Dame. Giants have not won a game since they fired Brian Daboll.
Man, that would be a nightmare for Notre Dame, wouldn't it? Like super late in the proceedings.
That'd be a huge loss.
In January.
Absolutely.
To lose your coach like that.
Big time loss. Bears, Niners, they clinched NFC playoff spots thanks to the Lions losing the Steelers. Niners playing tonight against the Colts. We got Purdy. We got Phillip Rivers. That's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I'll be looking forward to that in a big way. And I'm still, like, every time Phillip Rivers drops back to pass,
just hope he survives.
I mean, he's probably thanking God that Nick Bosa doesn't play anymore because he's injured.
Ravens, Lamar Jackson, back injury. It's been that kind of year. They blew a big lead late in that one. Shout out to Drake May. What a dime he threw to Kyle Williams for that touchdown. 28-24, they rally. They clinch a playoff berth as well. Oh, Quinshon Judkins. Did you see the injury? Broken leg. He was carted off the field. That looked terrible.
It was like a spiral.
It wasn't good. It was gross. It was disgusting. And he's going to be out for the season and probably going to bleed into 2026 as well. And we'll shut down the fix. Shedeur Sanders. He was competitive, had to leave, had to come back in. They were close. They lose by 3 to Buffalo because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. But they tried to get Shedeur here, and I thought a brilliant response from QB1 in Cleveland right now.
Right decision. Go for it on 4th and 2.
I know you can't be asking me that question, man. Come on, man. We can't see that's like the thing, like, if we want to change, if we want to change the narrative, change the franchise, if we want to, like, help, we got to speak life. You can't those type of things is like separate us. Like a lot of the players like get these type of questions, and then we want to be working with y'all. We want to be proactive, but like when you ask questions or when questions are asked to us players, and it's like you pinning stuff against each other. It's like, come on now, you know. It's like a thing in the locker room. Like, you know, we're not gonna be able to talk to them for real. We're not gonna be able to give them what they need. Like, because that separates the team. That don't help anything. It don't help anything in any situation, no matter how you answer it.
Shador being praised for that follow-up fourth down decision. What'd you think? How did you like coach's call there? Mm-hmm. 20 of 29, 157 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. As I mentioned, left the game, had to come back. I think he got his hand stitched up. But overall,
I mean, can't you just say, yeah, I liked going for it. I like that my coach has confidence in us going for it on fourth down. Like, how hard is that? I don't think that's like pinning you against your coach if you decide to answer it like, no, I don't want to go for it on fourth down. But how easy is it to say, no, absolutely, I always want to go for it on fourth down. I want the ball in my hands, and I'm glad my coach trusted me.
Yeah, but to ask him, like, do you agree with the decision? Like, they're clearly trying to put him in a spot there.
Yeah, but there's an easy out of the spot. It's not like I've backed you into the corner and you have a lose-lose scenario where you can't say anything. All you say is, I love having the ball in my hands on fourth down. I always want to go for it, of course.
You can say that, but when you're Shador Sanders and you say that, now you're overconfident, you're cocky, and you're a D-bag, and nobody likes you. That's kind of been the narrative on Shador. I thought he answered this one just explaining overall, trying to say something different. I thought Shador handled himself pretty well in this situation.
I disagree, but that's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's do Sounds of the Sports Day, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds of the Sports Day featuring Nick Saban, Terry Bradshaw, and a ref on the mic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Next here in the nation. All right, let's get you some Sounds of the Sports Day, plus some DK Metcalf breaking news here in the G-Bag Nation. Segment brought to you by The Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, go ahead and call The Frankels first, 214-333-3333. And, it looks like we get the DK Metcalf news here. He will be suspended for the remaining two games of the regular season. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting this. So suspended two games without pay. He doesn't say anything about the playoffs, so I believe it's just the final regular season games here. And the NFL policy says players may not enter the stands or otherwise confront fans at any time on game day. And if a player makes unnecessary physical contact with a fan in any way that constitutes unsportsmanlike conduct or presents crowd control issues and or risk of injury, he will be held accountable. So that's from the NFL policy there. But, I mean, he's got a heck of a contract. Like, those game checks, that's got to be at least $1 million a game right there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That hurts.
That hurts big time,
man. So two game suspension. I think that's pretty fair here.
Yeah, I think so. For the rest of the season, and if they make the playoffs, then he's back. I mean, he's going to miss a big game against Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could be for the division.
And Pittsburgh's playing some really good football right now. It's crazy that's where we live right here in the NFL, where the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are very likely to go ahead and win that division. But DK Metcalf, he will be suspended for the final two regular season games. All right, let's go ahead and get you some Sounds of the Sports Day here, and we'll just go chronologically from the weekend. We start at Kyle Field, College Game Day. Here's Nick Saban showing love to both the offensive lines in this game.
Both these teams, the offensive line that we got warming up right behind us, they got some big old wide asses like I like. other offensive line at the other end, they got some big old wide asses like us.
We like big bodies.
Even if they just stand by me on the sidelines, I feel good.
Yes.
How about that? He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
That's part of the scouting report. Like, you want to get the width of the backside.
You like you can watch like guys line up and plays like that guy's got like an ass that's two axe handle wide. You know, that's always one of those old scouting terms, axe handles, and that's how you describe the width.
That's what you want to see out
that's
there.
That's what you want to see, a two axe handle guy wide.
That big ass.
Well, that'll be an interesting game for you guys to scout there. I mean, I guess the Hurricanes offensive line.
All these games are
big.
Seriously.
Is that like, do you put more stock into these playoff games?
You absolutely.
You actually get the competition level, I guess, is what you want to see.
You want to see them going up against the absolute best. You really, really do. And these playoff games, there's so many. I remember back in the day of like, we used to watch the Miami Florida State games, the wide right games, you know, with Florida State. It seemed like that the first tape you would start with would be that game. And then you go from there. But the one thing the playoffs do is it gives you a really good idea about the competition level. Whereas like if you get a kid that's from a small school and he plays in the Senior Bowl, that's kind of a game you start with. You start with those drills and stuff to see how the guy from Hobart College is blocking against somebody from Michigan or one of those places. So, yeah, the good versus good is really key.
Hobart
here.
College. You guys are scouting dudes at Hobart College.
Allie Marpet. You don't remember Allie Marpet?
Allie Marpet, yes.
Allie Marpet was second-round pick by the Buccaneers.
He was supposed to be a dog on the offensive line.
Allie Marpet.
Allie Marpet. Yeah.
But yeah, that you watch that film, Hobart College, they had like bounce houses in the end zone. Like your kids were out there playing in the end zone while the game was going on. Like they're bouncing around sweaty in the out there while Hobart College was battling. You know,
get some entertainment while you're scouting them out.
Absolutely. That are kids playing cup football out there. You get a lot of cup football in some of these games.
Cup football.
Yeah. Some of these kids don't bring their footballs in. Like they're outside the end zone and they're kind of they got a bunch of cups and that's what they're using for a ball. So they're throwing the cups around like as a snap and throwing.
Resourceful.
Running routes. Yeah. Cup football.
Cup football.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm evaluating those kids out there, too.
Yeah. Never too early.
Who's throwing the cups?
Yeah. Gotta see the good.
And you're a cup collector.
I'm a cup collector. I do. I have a lot of them. 1986 is my
loves
oldest
his cups.
Cup. Yeah.
1986 is your oldest cup. What's your newest cup? Is it the World Series?
Masters. Well, the World Series, the slash Masters would be my.
The newest one?
The newest one. Because I get a cup from the Masters every year. And then thanks to my friend David Brissett who goes. And then, but yeah, like I'm not, listen, if I'm walking through the crowd and you're walking with me, say after like we got media credentials on and I kind of see a cup on the ground.
Oh, you just snag it.
Scoop that thing.
I pick it up. I kind of like, I take it home and I wash it a ton. I'm not trying to be gross.
Well, you're not using them, right? Are these cups you're using, or are they like they're in the office?
They're in the area. Like I've got like the opening day cups from the Rangers, the World Series cups. You gave me a cup from like when you were drinking that vodka.
Yeah,
you're like, here you go, bro.
I hope you didn't wash that one.
Oh no, man. But yeah, I've got the World Series cups and all that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
All right, we continue Sounds of the Sports Day here. Back to Kyle Field. This is the Malachi Toney game-winning touchdown, but it's the Miami Spanish call. Here it is.
Viene la jugada. Jugadita de engaño con Malachi Toney por derecha. Sigue Toney, pasó. Sigue Toney. Va a entrar Toney. Señoras y señores. Touchdown, Miami. Touchdown, los Huracanes. Con alma de niño y corazón de elefante, muchacho, las segundas oportunidades son así. Malachi Toney se pone la capa de Superman. Los Huracanes están ganando.
It was a reverse.
Hey, this guy met the moment, bro. That's a game-winning touchdown in the college football playoff. That guy was locked in.
I meant to send you guys for TD Tuesday.
What do you got?
get the Texas A&M call by our guy. What's our guy? Andrew Monaco. Andrew Monaco.
Oh, it's just a sad call.
Oh my gosh!
Oh really?
I'm gonna have to find it.
I want to play it now.
I think we could.
Was it on Twitter?
I might have to look for it.
Or were you listening to the game?
I was driving around doing some errands. Michelle and I went out running around doing some things, and so Michelle's like, "Why don't you turn the game on?" So I just turned it on, and it was the final drive. So A&M is thinking like they have no timeouts.
Right. Oh, the interception.
Oh, the interception call.
Oh my gosh. Can you
I'm gonna have to try and find it. I don't know if the FTP will have it, but
yeah, because our little archiver only gives you like the good side. Well, yeah. they'll give you interceptions and stuff like that too, but only for the team that's making the good play.
And we interviewed Andrew that week.
Yeah, we did.
And he was like such a nice guy.
But he was dejected.
It was one of the saddest calls. It was back to what's our quarterback?
Yeah, Marcel Reed.
Reed goes, Reed, back to pass. Intercepted.
Season over.
Intercepted. The Aggies season is over.
Agony.
Interception. But it was like it went from like excitement to like intercepted.
Despair.
Well, how about Joel Klatt? And a lot of people are saying like Malachi Toney should have just gotten down. He shouldn't have scored.
He absolutely should have.
I think in a real and in like a run of the mill normal football, like just a generically speaking, yes, I do think he should have gotten down. But in that game where the kicking situation was
wonky,
he needed to score 100%.
And your defense has played so well. A&M's got no timeouts.
Oh, no, you're so wrong. He's got to score on that play.
He's got to score. I'm just telling you, man.
The amount of missed kicks and the win. I'm not putting a kicker out there to try and win the game on the foot.
They had the lead, didn't they?
It was the game-winning touchdown. It was 3-3. It put them up 10.
So that
10-3.
Was the touchdown that put them up.
Oh, you know, okay.
So if you get down, it's still tied. Now you're talking the clock, you kick a walk-off field goal.
Okay,
but
why did I think it was for the lead?
No, he's talking about not giving A&M the football back.
I thought they already had the lead.
No.
And they
were
just trying
game.
To run that thing out.
No, tie game.
Okay, well, if that's
and
the case.
And I think in general, like, if you had any confidence that your kicking game was okay, like, I could get down with that. But in that game with the wind and Miami had missed like 3 field goals, even though it would be an ultimate chip shot from like the 1 yard line.
Okay.
I don't think I could trust it.
Listening to the game, I thought they already had the lead.
No, it was still tight. It was only 3-3. I mean, that was the only touchdown in the game. Yeah. Neither offense could really do anything for a good chunk. I mean, for basically the entire game up until that point. So I don't have any issues with him actually scoring there.
So Klatt said he should have gone down and ran the clock and then
just kicked the walk-off field goal.
I'm not risking it.
It would have been less than an extra point, though, right?
Right. It's the easiest kick a kicker could have, except you're on the road at Kyle Field. You're a kicker who's leaking confidence because you've missed 3 already.
Yeah.
It's super windy. Like anything can go wrong there. I think you score the touchdown and you trust the defense that had been lights out all game.
Get out.
And you go ahead and just get out of there alive. And that's what they did. All right, there it is. Sounds of the Sports Day. We got more, but we can get into them a little bit later. Well, Chuck, what's coming up next?
All right, perfect. Let's do a little C note. What did the Cowboys get right in Shoddy's first year? 877-881-1053 on the truckrick.com fan text. That is next in the Jeep Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Nation. Thank you, Lou. Just standing by for that Cowboys Brian Schottenheimer press conference. So when we get to the Shoddy presser, we will throw it over there. We'll do a little C-note Cowboys news of the evening. If you did miss it, Stephen Jones on with KNC earlier, confirming Dak Prescott will indeed still be starting for the Christmas Day game on Thursday against the Commanders. Looks like he's probably going to be playing against Josh Johnson, who's going to get the start for Washington, with Marcus Mariota having a hand injury right now. The other things you had, Stephen asked about Flus from our guys on KNC, and it was Alec in for Kevin. They did a fantastic job, but just on the defense, it's just about making sure that we're running the scheme that complements our players. Skill sets the best, because there's no question we have some pieces that we have to utilize. As he was reflecting back on the Cowboys season and saying the biggest disappointment has been the defense. So, quote, it's just about making sure that we're running the scheme that complements our players. I think, yeah, that's something that it doesn't seem as though this current defensive coordinator is built for. And that goes back to the hire in the first place. So it would be, I think, the third one and done outside of Dan Quinn. This is going to be the third one and done defensive coordinator if indeed Flus gets fired.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, but Jerry's talking about continuity, but I don't know how you can think about continuity when
it's this bad.
It's this bad.
No.
You got to look at it as like, okay. I mean, it's kind of been really all year. And, you know, if you're Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, even Brian Schottenheimer, how many weeks have we broken down a Cowboy game on a Wednesday or a Thursday and then talked about compromised offensive line, need to get pressure, need to find ways to – and what's the one thing – now, listen, the Joneses have a hand in this too. They hired Eberflus. They were convinced that he could generate pressure.
Uh-huh.
I'll say this. Yesterday he did more in the way of games up front, down, 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 around.
Sure.
That 34-yard run that Herbert had, he couldn't have schemed up Murray to get home any cleaner than he did.
Just make the play.
Just make the play. It goes from being a 5 to 7, 8 yard loss to being a 34-yard run. Is that Flus's fault?
No.
No, it's not. But ultimately, who pays for the sins of a team that doesn't play well? The head coach, the coordinators, the position coach.
Yep.
You know, that's the problem, because he schemed up some guys being able to get home. They haven't finished all year with pass rush.
And that's why, to pretend that the personnel is not a problem, which Jerry did tell Sean and RJ, but I think that they know that it is a problem.
It is a
problem. They're just saying that publicly.
It's an absolute problem. They don't want to – you don't want to hack off the players.
No.
It's easier to get rid of coaches than his players.
100%. But Joseph Hoyt putting out, the Cowboys have 28 sacks through 16 games this season. There's only three teams in franchise history that have had less through a 16-game stretch. The Cowboys had 32 sacks during the 9-game strike-shortened season in 1987.
Yeah,
how crazy is that?
I'll tell you, they don't intercept the ball either. That's another one.
I guess they haven't had 15 straight games like the Jets, but they're definitely not taking the ball away.
Yeah.
So Todd Archer has a piece out, what did the Cowboys get right in Shoddy's first season, 877-881-1053. We got a couple of texts in about the culture and the offense. That might be trending in the right direction. Now, offensively, I do think overall it's definitely improved 100%. But there are areas, I think, that are starting to pop up as glaring concerns. Like Bobby had the numbers. The Cowboys were 83% in the red zone their first three games this year. They have failed to convert in the red zone just twice in 12 opportunities since.
Yeah. They've converted.
They've had at least twice in every one of their final five home games failed to convert in the red zone. So that's 45% of the time. They went from 83% to 45% of the time. They've definitely struggled in that area of the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, we knew the defense was going to be bad. We mentioned that on the post game. The offense at times, and it's tough, right? Because even in the Lions, they scored enough points to win that game. But they've got to be putting up 30 points to have a chance. And yesterday, when you get shut out in the second half, you're not going to have an opportunity to win. But Dak overall has had one of his best statistical seasons. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. At least Dak in this offense, you have seen the best version of him, and he's healthy. I mean, he's been running around a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, that's been huge, and that's one of the biggest bummers about this season. Like, if you said Dak was going to have one of his best seasons and he was going to be healthy at this point in the year, you would think they have more wins at this point.
Sure.
And so everything really starts with the defense, and I understand the offense has a lot of pressure, and every mistake they make is really amplified because of how bad the defense is. But the offense has slipped as the season's gone on. And the red zone stuff, like, that's going to be a big-time look in the mirror. Like, when you have Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and George Pickens, scoring touchdowns in the red zone shouldn't be the hardest thing in the world.
No.
But the other thing, too, is, like, the protection started to fail you, and there was a good chunk here leading up to these last couple of games where, like, your rushing attack kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was, you know, that's another thing that was problematic. So being able to sustain it and, as the season goes on, find other things to do as defenses sort of get a beat on you a little bit. So there's definitely room for improvement for the offense. But overall, it's been a solid year for them. And for Dak in particular, I think that's the big thing. Like, Dak finally has a coach that is helping him more than he's hurting him.
And, I mean, Pickens, that trade has worked out. We'll see what happens with possibly the franchise tag or a long-term contract this offseason. CD reaching 1,000 receiving yards for the fifth straight season despite missing four games. I mean, his numbers have been unreal. Javonte Williams, low-cost free agent signing, that's been a home run. I think it's pretty evident, though, even if you bring Javonte Williams back, you've got to find another back to spell him. I mean, it wasn't until, what, 2-3 weeks ago they finally started giving Malik Davis a little bit of a run. Before that, they clearly didn't trust Jaden Blue. They weren't using Hunter Lipke. It was just the Malik Davis show, and now he's really started to get beat up towards the end of the season. The trade deadline acquisition for Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark, they've been beneficial for them for the most part. The stuff with Kenny Clark, it's tough because, like, even rewatching the game, there are snaps that he is dominating. But it's just like, it's too far and few between at times for him. Tyler Booker has been, and I think Donovan Ezeraki are both going to be really good players. Savone Revel, let's just give the guy a full offseason, please. The brace, he acknowledged, that's clearly bothering him. But those three guys have a chance to be good pieces moving forward. And you got DeMarvian Overshown back. And hopefully now he's got another year removed from the injury. He's got a full offseason to really work, and then he's got training camp and preseason. Overshown hopefully is back closer to the version of what we saw him prior to the injury next year. So there are some of the things that Shoddy got right in the first season. Is there anything else that you would add to that we didn't get to?
No, I mean, I think it's just being able to adjust on the fly as the season goes on and being able to be better in the red zone and having a rushing attack that doesn't disappear. And I think a lot of it will happen when they can really get an established offensive line. Like, we were hopeful for it. They suffered plenty of injuries, but the offensive line, the protection and not being able to run the ball and maybe just probably getting a little bit too conservative when you get into around midfield and you just feel like you have the Brandon Aubrey back pocket. Hey, we can kick a field goal.
Sure.
And I wonder how much that sort of works against him, you know, as he's calling some of these games.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah,
it absolutely could. Jerry also was talking about the defense, and that clearly has been a massive problem. And he did allude to, you know, his role in this and wanting to change. I mean, he was asked about the results of the last 30 years. He said, I'll admit that the Cowboys management has played a big role, but seriously, I'm very disappointed that the way we're structured and my role puts us here tonight, I'm tremendously disappointed. And I appreciate Jerry saying that, but the actions then need to follow suit. And maybe now is finally the time where all things are clicking to where there could be a change in that regard. But here's Shoddy. Take it away.
Listen, hey, I did see you guys moving. Hey, you guys look pretty damn slow coming from the locker room. I will say that. I got a lot of shit to do tonight. I got third down to do. We need to make this thing go a little bit.
Clarence.
Clarence Hill, DLS Cowboys. Is Todd coming in?
Yeah. Here you come.
Come on. Todd's
late. I thought it was Roger Staubach again. I'm a little disappointed it was just you, Todd.
Be on time, be early.
You're good.
Does anything change toward your approach for the final two games following yesterday's game?
No. You know, I talked to the guys today. Right now our focus is on playing the Commanders, and we get a chance to do it on a short week, which is something that we're pretty good at because we've done it quite a bit with our Thursday games. But no, at the end of the day, man, we're playing to win. And, you know, that's just, at the end of the day, that's not just, you know, my philosophy. You know, that's what these guys want to do. Like, they want to play. If you listen to our guys, they want to play. They want to play well. They, you know, they love one another. They care about one another. Clarence, I think that's, for me, that's really cool.
You move Eberflus from the field to the box. How do you think the defense played? How did that work for you guys? Clearly, you didn't get to the quarterback. You blitzed more than you have most of the season, and you still did not get a quarterback who did sack more than anybody on the ground.
Yeah, I think operationally it was good. I thought, you know, the operation of it was good. We certainly didn't play well enough, really, in any of the three phases to get the win. The pressure on the quarterback, I mean, it seems like we talk about this every week, and it's so important, you know. Like, you have to be able to get the pressure on the quarterback, and I think when you look at it, there's a lot of factors. You know, I thought we won some one-on-ones, and he got out. You know, Herbert's an athletic guy, and he's big and he's long, and we lost some rush lane discipline. We blitzed some more. They picked it up. But it's certainly not to the level that we want or expect. And that's one of the reasons why, when you look at where we are with creating turnovers, you know, it starts with that. We have to hit the quarterback to make him make errant throws or to get strip sacks. And so, you know, we all have to own that. I start with that as the head coach. And I know Flus and White Cotton feel the same way, that we have to be better.
You got the personnel to get it done, or is it a scheme thing?
No, we have the personnel to get it done, and we have the scheme. We just haven't done it. And, again, that starts with us as coaches.
Brian Todd Archer with ESPN, back on whether guys play the last two games. How much do you weigh the downside of playing the guys, and if something were to happen like you've seen with Mahomes and stuff like that the last
Yeah, game? Again, I mean, because you guys keep asking me about it, I think about it more than I probably want to. I'd be lying about that. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, we're in year one. And, you know, we've done some things that we're proud of this year. There's been, you know, certainly not the success in the win-loss column. That's very evident. We're disappointed about that. But again, you know, I'm fueled by the fact that we get to play an NFC East opponent this week and then next week. And, you know, we want to win. And to sustain some success, and we have a chance to potentially go 5-1 in the division. You know, I mean, you know, this is the NFC East. And so that's something that motivates us. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, when you look at this season, there's going to be good things, there's going to be bad things, but we're playing to win. And then our players are all about that. That's what the culture we're trying to build.
Second half, the last 2 weeks, you've not scored a touchdown. There's a lot of talk about the defense, but how much does that kind of bother you and hit it home for you?
Yeah, no. I mean, I was very disappointed with, you know, the way, you know, we played in the second half yesterday, and I just felt like, you know, we had a good drive, and the 4th-and-1 call, you know, didn't go the way we wanted to. And, you know, I've thought that one over and over a lot, and, you know, I give them credit. They made a good play, and but you're always, you know, critical of yourself, like, what if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? But really, the biggest thing that slowed us down, Todd, I think, was untimely penalties on third down. This game got away from us, guys, time of possession. You know, I told the guys that this morning. I said, we didn't play this game on our terms. They possessed the ball for 35 minutes, and it's been 33-something. And why? Well, we didn't convert third downs, you know, and we couldn't get them off the field on third and fourth down. And this team, when you do that, the way that they can run the ball and the explosive plays that they made, it's not a good recipe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.